ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲೋ 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 ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಪದ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಪದ ಪ್ರಭು ಪದ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಪದ ತಾಯಿ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ್ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಕೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಿ ತಾಯಿ ಕೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗಿರಿಧಾರಿ ಗೋಪಾಲ್ ಕೀ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇತ್ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತೀರುತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ವೆರಿ ಮಚ್ ಫಾರ್ ಎವ್ರಿಬಡಿ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಫಾರ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು ಟುಡೇ ವಿ ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 11 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 19 ದ ಪರ್ಫೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 27 ಧರ್ಮೋ ಇಸ್ ಇಟ್ ರಿಟನ್ ಎನಿವೇರ್ No. No problem. We can... It will be over by the time. Dharmo mad bhakti krit prokto jnanam cha aikyatma darshanam guneshva sango vairagyam aishwaryam cha anima dayaha. Dharmo mad bhakti krita prokto jnanam cha ikatmakam darshanam jnanam cha ikatmya darshanam guneshva sango vairagyam aishwaryam chani madayaha. Dharmo mad bhakti krita prokto jnanam chaikatmya darshanam guneshva sango vairagyam aishwaryam chani madayaha. Please. Dharmo jnanam chaikatmya darshanam natusanko vairagyam aishwaryam chani madayaha. Kaukto jnanam chaikatmya darshanam uneshva sango vairagyam aishwaryam chani madayaha. Dharme krit bhakti prokto jnanam chaikatmya darshanam ureshva sango vairagyam aishwaryam chani madayaha. Dharmaha, religion, mat, my, bhakti, devotional service, krit, producing, proktaha, it is declared, jnanam, knowledge, cha, also, aikatmya, the presence of the Supreme Soul, darshanam, seeing, uneshu, in the objects of sense gratification, asangaha, having no interest, vairagyam, detachment, aishwaryam, opulence, cha, also, anima, the mystic perfection called anima, adayaha, and so forth. Translation. Actual religious principles are stated to be those that lead one to my devotional service. Real knowledge is the awareness that reveals my all-pervading presence. Detachment is complete disinterest in the objects of material sense gratification. And opulence is the eight mystic perfections such as anima siddhi. Purport. The Supreme Lord is perfect knowledge. Thus, one who has been delivered from ignorance automatically engages in the devotional service of the Lord and is called religious. One who becomes detached from the three modes of material nature and the gratificatory objects they produce is considered to be situated in detachment. Let me read again. One who becomes detached from the three modes of material nature and the gratificatory objects they produce is considered to be situated in detachment. The mystic yoga perfection described previously by the Lord to Uddhav constitute material power or opulence in the highest degree. Haribol. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपक कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्दश्रीअद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर अलाउिंग मी टू बी इन बिटवीन यू लॉर्ड कृष्णाज टीचिंग्स टू उद्धवास इज गोइंग ऑन कंटिन्यूअसली द मेन डिफरेंस बिटवीन दीज टीचिंग्स एंड टीचिंग्स टू अर्जुन इज दैट देर वॉज अ लिमिटेड शॉर्टेस्ट पॉसिबल टाइम फॉर अर्जुन and there was enough time for Uddhav. So things are much more elaborately explained by Krishna to Uddhav. And that constitutes the very important Uddhav Gita part of the Bhagavatam. And you will notice that many of these things are there in Upadeshamruta and so many other scriptures are extracted from this 11th canto. And it enriches and ornaments Rupa Goswami's teachings in a very precise manner. So here, few beautiful things are mentioned. In the previous verse, mostly adharma is mentioned. Sense gratification, what happens during sense gratification. In the previous verse, there is a mention about these items which are mentioned here also. That is religiosity, knowledge, detachment, opulence, and those same things are actually defined here much further. Whenever I read Srimad Bhagavatam, I always feel very, very fortunate that such a literature is available to all of us. Such a esoteric, free from all the contaminations of material modes, material life, adharmic life, completely purest literature is available. So, even if we are in the mode of enjoyment or rajoguna, this sets you right whenever you are with this scripture. And there is no tension of getting contaminated by any other diluted teachings which are there in the other kinds of scriptures which are mode of ignorance or passion. So, it is very safe to read Srimad Bhagavatam in all the times. When we are up, when we are down, when we are a little bit in the mode of sense gratification, sometimes we are in the mode of detachment. In all the various stages of our consciousness, ups and downs, Srimad Bhagavatam is a very safe literature. You can read and always situate yourself on the platform of transcendence all the time with full guarantee. So here, four things are described. First is dharma. Second is knowledge. Third is detachment. And fourth is opulence. And this 25th verse, it was mentioned that when one is in peaceful consciousness, strengthened by mode of goodness, he is fixed in personality of Godhead. Then one automatically achieves dharmikta, religiosity, jnana, knowledge, vairagya and opulence. Very beautiful verse. How does one achieve peace? One achieves peace if one connects with the Supreme Lord. As long as we are disconnected from Supreme Lord, we are connected with the material world, with the three modes of nature, which are always agitating. So there is no question of peace in agitation. When we are agitated with something, you cannot expect yourself to be in peace. So, and plus in 5.29, Sri Krishna also gives the definition of peace. When we know that He is the Lord, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, and we understand and accept that He is the Lord and I am the servant, I am His part, peace automatically comes, prevails. As long as we think that I am the boss, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, I am the Swami, then peace is gone by definition from there only. So peace is not a matter of a mental situation, it's a matter of spiritual understanding, which puts intelligence, mind, senses, tendencies in place. So that is the peaceful consciousness. And strengthened by mode of goodness, that means giving up activities of passion, giving up activities of hurting anybody, harming anybody, causing damage in the prakriti, in our surroundings, or to even to ourselves also, by doing harm, by doing something which is not supposed to be done, like people smoke, eat nonsense things, speak nonsense, that is harm to oneself. In that situation, mode of goodness cannot get situated. And also, connecting with the Lord pulls one to mode of goodness, the gradual progressive path towards ultimate Vishuddha Sattva Guna. And as soon as one is in this mode of goodness with connection with the Lord, resulting in peace, automatically one becomes religious, one becomes knowledgeable, one becomes detached, and one becomes opulent. Very interesting. It's like detachment and opulence. See, is it not confusing? In one sense, contradictory. One is detached and one is opulent at the same time. So what is he detached from? There's another question comes. So we'll gradually try to define each and everything. So Sri Krishna himself says, in the previous verses also, that real knowledge is awareness of my all-pervading nature. In one sense, this is also like darshan of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada was asked one time, by many people used to ask him, now also people ask, to us also, have you seen God? So Srila Prabhupada answered that, I am never not seeing God. It's a very googly answer. Because if you say yes, then still you may not believe. If you say no, then you are not a good acharya. Why should I listen from you? Prabhupada understood the reason behind asking this question. It's very, you know, challenging kind of arrogant question. Even if I tell you, I have seen God, you may say, no, I don't believe in you. And if I don't see God, what is the use of all your sadhana for so many years? So many years you are, you know, wasting in this without even seeing God. I must see God if I do something in connection with the Lord. So he said, I am never not seeing the Lord. But he must have not understood the gravity of the answer, but this answer is very deep and very grave. Because in scripture it is mentioned that how does Lord give darshan to anybody? If you see Dhruv Maharaj's pastime, you will see that Lord first appeared in his heart, in his dhyana, we can say. And then what happened? Then he appeared pratyaksha. From his heart, he appeared in front of him, as an object of his eyes. So this is how the Lord appears. He can appear in our dhyana also. If our dhyana is perfect, if our dhyana is concentrated, if our dhyana is not distracted, and we are focused, then the Lord will give us His feelings of His appearance in the heart every day. This is possible. And then if He chooses, He will give personal darshan. And He is giving personal darshan every day in the form of deity. Like, one time Srila Prabhupada was asked, where is the Lord, where is the Lord? He said, He is right there, standing in our temple. But He is a statue, He said. He said, till the time you are in this consciousness, you will see the statue, as a stone, as a wood. But when your eyes will be anointed with love, you will see Him playing flute. Our Madan Mohanji Bajbasi from Koshi, the great singer and great devotee of the Lord, you know, he was singing here in Radha Gopinath temple. Shloka Krishna Prabhu's departure also he was there. I mean, he left right from my house, he dropped his bag, and I told Shloka Krishna Prabhu is in the temple right now, in the last hours of his life, dropped the luggage and just ran to temple. Panditji and Madan Mohanji and Narsingh Baba, and then they sang most beautiful kirtan, bringing Braj Bhumi over here. The way they brought Braj Bhumi in Philadelphia, in Gita Nagari, for His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami. same thing they brought here and they. So Madan Mohanji was singing one time, and other times in the night darshan I was just sitting next to him, and he was playing so beautifully for Radha Gopinath in a mild darkness. At the end of the kirtan he said, Krishna's flute was moving. So I said, nobody saw that. He said, I saw Krishna's flute was moving. So what does that mean? That means he is seeing that Krishna's flute is moving. He's playing the flute and he's moving with the flute. But we are not seeing that because we don't have that pure consciousness and love. And another thing I noted that he sang for only the Lord. Whether audience is there, repeating, not repeating, there is one-to-one connection between him and the Lord. And to such devotees who are not bothered with the audience or not audience, appreciation, not appreciation, anything of these kind of things, which we need to get encouraged, to them Lord is most personally visible every time. So then the Lord will give darshan from dhyan to pratyaksha, but both these darshans are temporary. If I am today concentrated, I may feel His presence. And when I come to in front of deities, I will see the deities. Or one fortunate moment when Lord will choose to appear, He will appear. But all these things are temporary, they are kshanik, they are time bound. But the next darshan is eternal. That means you see Lord in everything in the universe. It's called as a Virat Rupa Darshan or Vishwarupa Darshan, you can say. That is the real darshan of the Lord. And that is also called by Bhagavatam and Prabhupada as real knowledge also. That you see the Lord's presence in each and everything. In our olden early days in Krishna consciousness, this statement of Srimad Bhagavad Gita was repeated millions of times. When you have thus learned the truth, you will know that every living entity is in me and they are mine. This was repeated 50, 100 millions of times. So like embedded in every class, like we hear from here, Radhana Swami Maharaj always, Trinadapi Sunichan. In every single class, you have to hear that to get, you know, one of the shot on the nail. Similarly, in the olden days, early 86, 84, 85 days, this shloka was like common shloka constantly. When you have thus learned the truth, you will know all the living entities are in me and are mine. And further corollary to that is that you see me in them and them in me. We should all aspire for that actually. We may not be able to see like Narad Muni saw Krishna just for a flash of a second, right? And then he disappeared. Only he spoke, I will not show you myself again. You will hanker and cry. But in that sense, because he was looking for the Lord which he saw in his eyes, in front of his eyes, he was looking for that in every single thing that he was looking. So he was actually seeing, right? Like we see gopis. It is said that in every leaf they were seeing the Lord. In Jamuna waters they were seeing the Lord. In every tree, in every creature, in every creeper, every flower, every person, every item, they were seeing the Lord. Like Hanumanji was seeing Lord Ram in every single thing. That's why he broke the all pearls also, to see whether the Lord is there in that or not. So what is the meaning of that? When one can see Lord's presence in every living entity and everything that exists, inanimate or animate, when the Lord is fixed in your consciousness. When I will see everything green, when I'll wear a green spectacle. That means the green spectacle is on me. So everything is automatically green. I don't have to search for green. So the easiest way to be in possession of the third level of darshan is to fix Krishna in the heart. And then we will be able to see Krishna in everything, and everything we will see in relationship with Krishna. And that makes life very beautiful, very esoteric and very superlative in nature. Now we are seeing every object as an object of sense gratification. How it will gratify me. That is our by default consciousness setting. But when this setting changes to having Krishna in the consciousness and we see things in that perspective, life becomes very, very beautiful, and most necessarily it becomes very, very, very pleasurable. Anandamaya Bhyasad, we are all looking for pleasure. So this becomes first and foremost thing, it becomes very pleasurable and very nice. So this is one way of looking, understanding real knowledge, how you see the Lord. Second way is paradareshu matruvat pradravyeshu vishavat. Is that word right? Vishavat or something else? Huh? That is stone. Lostravat means stone, pebble, insignificant pebble. Lostravat. Paradareshu matruvat pradravyeshu lostravat. Atmavat sarva bhuteshu ya paschati sa panditaha. This is another knowledge which Chanakya Pandit explains. How one can understand who is knowledgeable, who is real jnani. Not by MD, MS, PhD, DPhil, MPhil, whatever, DSC. This is not the barometer of understanding anybody's knowledge. The real knowledge is when we see others' wife as our mother. Except if we are grihastha, we are married to one lady, she is our wife. Everybody else from age of one day to 100 years. When we actually learn and practice and actually on that platform of seeing every lady as our mother, it takes great efforts. It is not automatic. We have to really, really practice bhakti to be able to see that every lady is my mother. And second is, every other wealth which I don't possess and I am not supposed to have it or not authorized to have it or not entitled. Huh? Generally we say everything is mine. Everything should be mine. That is the consciousness of a chor, of a thief. What is not mine is mine. It is supposed to be mine. Why you are having it? I should be having it. So he steals. That is a thief's consciousness. And we are all actually thieves because we all are trying to exploit the resources of material nature for our own gratification. So when we come to a situation that I am not entitled to that which is not belonging to me, I am supposed to take what I need, what is legitimately mine, what is legally mine, what is authoritatively mine, and everything else I should never partake of it. In the village you see this consciousness. Even if 5 paisa is remaining, they will come and return that to you. Because that 5 paisa, when it is not belonging to me, I keep it with me. There is a karma. And somewhere I have to return it. I am not going to go away with it. This was prevalent consciousness in villages until late. But today, if somebody drops 100 rupees, immediately somebody picks up and puts it in pocket. Immediately. Pradeshil, this is my fortune, this is my karma, somehow I got it, so I should. So in the early days we were always asked that what will you do if you find some good amount of wealth on the road? One person will come and put it in the pocket and go away. Second person will look here and there, ask is anybody, nobody is claiming, so he'll put and go. Third person will pick it up and put it in some sanstha, some child, old age or some anathashram. And fourth person will actually find out who was the owner of that money and give it to that. So when you see wealth or object of sense gratification lying on the road openly, these kind of various activities can be done. And one can justify, oh, I gave it to Anathashram, I gave it to this. But the real understanding and knowledge is to find the owner and give it to the owner. So when you give it to charity also, you think you are the owner and you are doing charity. But it is somebody else's property. Like we know that King Nigar story. You read the charity, but it's not yours. And he became lizard in the next life. So externally it becomes very lucrative. Oh, I didn't take it for myself. I put it in the old age home. I put it into the orphanage. But we are inflicting in karma. So the real knowledge is to understand that to provide or to make the wealth reach to the person whom it belongs to. So paradraveshu lostravat. Then the third part is matching with that Bhagavad Gita shloka. Atmavat sarvabhuteshu. I treat myself equal with everybody. I see myself, treat myself as in connection with the Lord. And as I treat myself, I treat sarvabhuteshu. I treat everybody. The way I will like myself to be treated, I will like to treat others from my side that way. That is again God is in between. When I see, when I can treat everybody the way I like myself to be treated, when I see myself as part and parcel of the Lord, and when I see others as part and parcel of the Lord, and when I see things also as part and parcel of the Lord, not only living entities, even the things which are inanimate, when I see them in connection with Lord, then only I can treat them with that respect the way I want myself to be treated. You see, Srila Prabhupada would take out his wallet and pay for something. Many people have described the way he would take out a note and would give with utmost respect. It was not paper for him, it was Srimati Lakshmi Devi himself to be utilized in service to the Lord. The way he would take out, the way he would drink water. Some people have become devotees by just looking at him the way he was drinking water. Because all his activities was in Krishna's consciousness, was consciousness of Krishna, was dedicated to the service of Krishna, was dedicated to be exemplary, to inspire people. That's why he was true Acharya. Acharya who is one who is teaching by his example. The knowledge that we need to learn and understand, he is exhibiting in his behavior. And his behavior is 1,000 times louder than his words which he is giving in his lectures. And most people didn't understand what he spoke. But most people understood what he was doing and why he was doing. And that actually inspired them. For first 6 months, nobody understood what he was speaking, which accent, what shlokas he was quoting, which foreign language he was uttering. Nobody knew. But in that 6 months, so many people joined, shaved up, became brahmacharis in temple. Because his behavior was very translative, very, very, very communicative, very clearly understood by everybody. Because it was based on that true knowledge, that I am servant of the Lord, everybody is part and parcel of the Lord, and I am trying to connect them with the Lord, and I treat them the way I want to treat myself. So when one is in this consciousness, sa paschati sa panditaha. Pandita means one who is knowledgeable, one who is jnani, one who is knowledged. This is another definition, another way of looking at it. If we want to be really learned, we have to be on this platform, or aspire and try our best to be on this platform. Another way of looking at it, knowledge is vidya vinayena sampanne brahmane gavi hastini shuni chaiva svapakecha pandita samadarshina. That means when such knowledge is achieved by us, this knowledge is also potential enough to make us proud. True knowledge, it's not that we have learned 18 Puranas, 109 Upanishads. That is one level of knowledge that will definitely give pride if it is not used in service to the Lord. It is said, knowledge which is acquired but not used in service to the Lord and devotees becomes the cause of one's fall down. Like the metal golden crown helps you to drown faster in the ocean when you are having that crown on your head. That is, knowledge is described to that. When knowledge is not in service, not utilized, only knowledge is accumulated to just become a pandit, that knowledge becomes cause of our fall down. So, every single thing which looks very attractive and good in nature, if not used in service to the Lord, it will cause damage. So wealth, money is Lakshmi Devi, but kept in house becomes cause of home, residence of Kali, contaminates our consciousness with Kalaha and Dambha. The same Lakshmi Devi. But the same Lakshmi Devi not utilized in service of the Lord and only accumulated, it will cause damage to all of us. So money, knowledge, fame, influence, and all the things that we, pratishtha, lab, puja, whatever we receive, if we do not engage them in service to the Lord, all those can cause us damage and actually can destroy the achievement, whatever we have accumulated in our devotional service to the Lord. So most important is vidya vinayena sampanne. When it is said that a true tree which is studded and loaded with fruits is always towards the ground, right? And the branch of the tree which has no fruits is always standing upright. It is also said that the pot which is filled with water never makes sound. The pot which has got little water always makes sound and was unsteady. Water which is not very deep, very shallow, lot of noise it makes. Water which is very deep doesn't make any noise. Uthal panala khalkhalat phar. Marathi mein ek kahavat hai. One which is shallow water is there, always lot of noise is there. And you see, I just came from Uttarkashi. When water is deep, it is just going steadily. When it becomes narrow, that means when the stone becomes bigger, it appears narrower, lot of sound is there. That's why we have to understand that all that is available to us, like for example knowledge here, immediately it has to be utilized in service to the Lord. If we want to have that knowledge which we have knowledge in us, but we want to have the right effect of that knowledge on us, it has to be in service to the Lord and others. If you want to have good effect of money on you, it has to be in service to Krishna and his devotees. If it is just accumulated, it is going to cause damage. And ultimately, what is devotional service? It is ultimately an exercise, or you can say game, of bringing our consciousness to the level of realizing the Lord, right? That is the ultimate goal. You may be rich, you may not be rich, you may have saffron, you may have white dress, you may be in India, you may be in abroad, you may be in poor conditions or big temple, whatever you are in. Finally, it is what? At the end of the day, what is it? When time of death comes, what is it? The development of consciousness. And we want everything around us to be favorable for our spiritual development, to our development of our consciousness, which can be finally presented in front of the Lord as something which is tangible. Otherwise, anything else we present, I'm from Radha Gopinath temple. Can that card be utilized at the moment of death? No. Can you say, I'm a sannyasi, or I've read all the scriptures? Can that be utilized? No. What is utilized, what is utilizable, what is swipeable that time is only consciousness. So we have to make sure that our consciousness is benefited by whatever we have, by utilizing that whatever we have in service to Lord and devotees. And that is called knowledge. If you know this, then you are knowledgeable. So these are the way of looking at knowledge. The way, if I have knowledge or you have knowledge, how do we judge we have knowledge? These are the platforms on which you can judge knowledge. And one may be like Gaur Kishore Babaji, without reading any scripture, without knowing one shloka also. But you see that his behavior is like the fully realized soul. Not even knowledge, fully realized on practical platforms. So ultimately, realization, ultimately all knowledge is manifested by what? By our behavior. The way we conduct ourselves, the way we treat each other, the way we speak, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we do everything in life, the way we handle money, the way we speak to each other. All that is the barometer, the benchmark of how much knowledge and realization you have can be understood by our behavior. So conduct and behavior is the ultimate proof of the knowledge that we have on the platform that we just discussed. Then next point discussed over here is dharma. Actually, all religious principles are stated to be those that lead to my devotional service. So Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Krishna says, whatever you think you are following as religious principle has to be ultimately in my service. If all that so-called religiosity and religious activities that you and me are performing, it is not ultimately leading to the service of the Lord and then to the service of devotees, it cannot be called as dharma. It can be a pseudo dharma. It may be appearing like dharma, but it will not lead you to the ultimate goal of life, that is realization of the Supreme Lord. So in Mahabharata, Dharmaraj very beautifully explains what is dharma. I'll tell you the situation. They were in Vanvas, and you know, they were at that time in Himalayas. And in Himalayas, you know, terrible cold. As one was, they were not supposed to have chappals, so they were barefooted. Then there were no warm clothes also. Like today also, even brahmacharis, sannyasis go, they have to wear warm clothes if they go to Gangotri, Badrinath. But they didn't have any warm clothes. Almost they were all open. Almost open. And it was freezing cold, and there was hardly any food available. Not that regularly breakfast, lunch, dinner, tea time, food is coming. At least fruits are coming, berries are coming. No, whenever you come across, you have to eat and see whatever you can eat and survive. So that point of time, Draupadi, Arjun, Nakul, Sahadev, Bhimsen were all in glani. That means, we can say in medical terms, hypoglycemia. Completely, you know, no nutrition in the body. So, Draupadi was almost half unconscious. Nakul, Sahadev also were half unconscious. Arjun and Bhim were a little bit awake. But Arjun also was a little drowsy, and Bhimsen was like really angry. And Dharmaraj was very peaceful. So So Bhimsen started talking loudly, "Dharmaraj, my dear elder brother," like he was really agitated. He saw, "I cannot see my brothers in this condition. Those people who are supposed to conquer the world and rule the world in right consciousness, who are capable of so much of knowledge and real service to humanity, they are rotting in the forest. I cannot see. My dear brother, even when you are in forgiving mode, if you are in too much forgiving mode, even servants rule you. Suppose you are too much forgiving and too much kind and all. Even servants misuse you. So my dear brother, order me, order Gandhiv Dhari Dhanushya, that we will go and conquer and destroy all these Kauravas. I cannot tolerate seeing my great glorious brothers in this condition." And Dharmaraj is very peacefully sitting and listening. And looking at a loud noise, Arjun got awake, you know, he got alert. Draupadi woke up, and also Nakul Sahadeva woke up. And they all seconded what Bhimsen was saying. We agree. This is too much. You have been too much tolerant. You have been your dharma, dharmic, what do you call, your following of dharma and dharma principles have led us to this situation. And he says ki the real person following dharma makes his own platform in this world. मतलब हिंदी में ऐसे बोलते कि वीर पुरुष अपने कर्तव्य से और अपने कर्तृत्व से अपना धर्म तय करता है. एंड यू आर केपेबल दैट पर यू आर रियल धर्म योर सेल्फ. तो वाई आर यू सो फॉरगिविंग एंड सो टॉलरेंट एंड कॉजिंग द सिचुएशन एंड द वर्ल्ड इज सफरिंग बिकॉज यू आर इन द फॉरेस्ट. हु विल रूल द वर्ल्ड? वर्ल्ड इज बिंग रूल्ड बाय नॉनसेंस पीपल. सो एवरीबडी से यस 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 यस. सो देन धर्मराज स्टार्ट स्पीकिंग. ही सेज, he really defines, he says, just see what is dharma, what is Yudhishthir. One who is sthir in the yuddha also, that is Yudhishthir. So he, any agitative situation, he is where he is and he speaks what he has to speak. He doesn't get agitated by somebody's arousals or somebody's depression or somebody's agitation. He is where he is all the time undisturbed. So he says, I am following dharma by the order of the root of dharma, that is Narayan. My dharma is to serve the Lord. And then he goes on saying that dharma has to be followed only to please the Lord. There is no other purpose of following dharma. Then he says what dharma shouldn't be followed for, which all of us unknowingly are doing. He says dharma should not be followed for fear of getting reactions of wrong deeds. ऐसा नहीं करना, फिर नरक में जाना पड़ेगा. डोंट डू दिस, यू विल गो टू हेल. और यू डू दिस, देन यू आर टू सफर इन दिस काइंड ऑफ सिचुएशंस. एंड इफ यू डू दिस, देन यू विल बिकम पॉपर, यू विल बिकम सर्वेंट. सो सम पीपल फॉलो धर्मा आउट ऑफ फियर ऑफ सम एंटिसिपेटरी रॉन्ग रिएक्शंस. सो वन शुड नॉट फॉलो धर्मा फॉर दैट. देन ही सेज वन शुड नॉट फॉलो धर्मा टू अवॉइड मिजरीज. मोस्ट ऑफ द पीपल इन द वर्ल्ड, मोस्ट ऑफ आस्तिक believers, people in the world, most of them are doing dharma for it. I should not get miserable. And most of us are following in the same platform, I should be happy. Even we are devotees, we are every day how we are living. On today's day, there should not be no dukkha and there should be sukha if possible. But there should not be dukkha. Even in our devotional service, in our service to the devotees and the Lord, we are saying that I should not be miserable today. So we have to rise above this platform. That dharma is not meant for avoiding miseries and achieving sukha. Dharma is meant to only please the Lord. And then he says, most of the people follow dharma for achieving sense gratification. Lobh, lalach, indriya bhoga. Dharma should not be followed even for that also. So one time I preached many ward boys and housekeeping attendants in the hospital. And many months I cultivated and 12 of them were chanting 16 rounds. I was so happy. I was about to mention their names and recommend their name for initiation. They were really coming up very beautifully, following four principles. After 6 months, I saw that 6 of them gave up chanting altogether. So then I asked what happened. He said, what is the use? There is no promotion. There is no increase in salary. That means they were thinking that when I chant Hare Krishna, number one, my miseries will be over in my life, whatever sufferings are going on, and lot of benefits will come.
I'll get a son, I'll get a house, and I'll get a loan in the bank, I get a vehicle, I get increase in salary. So this is the by default setting in the brain. Even in ourselves also, we may think I'm so many years in the bhakti, but still that gain by following dharma, by following spiritual life, there is a gain attitude is still there. I should gain. What is the use of XYZ, like staying in temple or staying in bhakti for so many years? What has happened? Has this changed? Has some money come? Has some promotion come? Has some opulence come? What is the use of all so many years I am doing this thing? So Dharmaraj is saying, one should not follow dharma for achieving any sense gratification or any gain or any profit, any labh. And then he said, one who follows dharma to achieve sukh is selfish and is not a dharmatma. Dharmaraj's every statement is very powerful here. Very insightful statement. And then he makes another statement. He says, you all feel obliged to me, to follow me. Today I release all of you from my bondage. I have not taken the vrat of following dharma on the strength of your support. I have decided to follow dharma on my own strength. So today I release you. This is ultimate. Immediately Bhimthen and Arjun fell at his feet. He said, my dear brother, we don't know dharma. We don't know nyaya. We don't know justice. But we only know you. And we know how to follow you. And I think if I follow you, if you follow you, dharma and nyaya will follow with us. So my dear brother, please forgive us by saying all these hot statements. They were only out of seeing you in misery and in turn seeing us in misery. But we are now prepared. If you feel you are happy in this cold, without wearing clothes, without food, without having opulence, without having adhikar, if you feel perfectly situated, by following you, we will also feel perfectly situated. Let miseries come, let opulence may not come, let rewards may not come. This is the discussion taking place when you are hungry, when you are not clothed, when you are not having chappals, when you are in a miserable condition. This is the discussion taking place between these exalted souls. You have to understand that. In the air-conditioned room, I can speak wonderful things. You put this off, then you will see. So that is why we have to adore these personalities. Because they exhibited dharma and the consciousness of dharma by their every moment behavior. And whenever they were little bit here and there, dhanukautical, deviated, the topmost personality, Dharmaraj, set them right all the time. Then Bhishmadev gives definition of dharma in Mahabharata. Again, when he gave definition of dharma in Mahabharata? When he was on bed of arrows. When 3.5 crores of arrows were in his body, has drained all the blood that he had, and every arrow that has pierced through and through had given so much of pain to him. At that time he is speaking this. He said, what is dharma? Dharmaraj is asking, Krishna is telling, please, Dharmaraj, go to Bhishmadev. He is leaving this world. Achieve from him all the knowledge that you need. Now you are going to become the king of the world. So he defines that to neglect anitya, to not give energy to anitya, that is temporary things, ashashvat things in the world, and to ponder and cultivate nitya, shashvat, that is dharma. And anitya is all sense gratification independent of the Lord, and nitya is Lord himself, which is also called satya. So cultivating satya and cultivating and pondering and keeping ourselves on the platform of truth always, the absolute truth, is dharma. And then Bhagavad Gita explains, adyantu vantu kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. The real focus of a realized soul, knowledgeable soul, is on those things which have no beginning and no end. And an intelligent man always enjoys those things which has no beginning and no end. And does not ponder, nateshu ramate, doesn't enjoy those things which are known to have beginning and known to have end. That is the platform of dharma that we are supposed to live. Not what sounds good, what feels good, what tastes good. What is actually good in connection with the Lord. That is dharma. And detachment. Time is very short, but Rupa Goswami, such a beautiful scripture, Nectar of Devotion. All varieties of vairagya. There are so many types of vairagya. which are for self-aggrandizement. I want to become a sannyasi because I know people will respect me. Huh? At one time, some children were talking in the society in Mira Road. All are devotees' children, and they were sitting. And how it's very interesting what devotees' children they talk when they are in ground. So they were sitting and talking, and they're saying, "What do you want to become?" So they were saying, "I want to become engineer. Somebody wants to become doctor. Somebody wants to become something." And one guy said, "I want to become guru." Wow, he said, "Why you want to become guru?" And it's so beautiful it is. When guru comes, there's a special plate for him which nobody gets. There's so much respect, there's so much garland. Everybody is bowing down on the road, in the garden, on the temple, on the floor. Everybody. So it is actually now. It is very good to become guru. So this is how, I mean, we are laughing now because you know that it was not you. Okay? And we are looking at the children saying this thing. But if you analyze, all of us are in this consciousness. We all want to get good things, nice things, palatable things, not food-wise, otherwise also, which are tasty, which are right, very good to feel. Good feel we want, even after becoming devotee, in bhakti also. But the real detachment is for the pleasure of the Lord. Why we give up certain things? Not because I will become very known as tapasvi, or I will be looked upon, looked up up by people as a respectable, as a very adorable personality. Wow, he did 11 days fast without water in Himalayas. So, when one is on his own agenda, subtle agendas, one can be externally very renounced. Or finally attached to that kind of agenda which he has got. So Rupa Goswami has defined Vairagya in a very simple way. You don't even have to change your color of your dress also. But you can be on the highest platform of detachment. What is that? Anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. These two things, he said, are above all the principles. Like you take the name of the Lord, never forget the Lord. Like that, it is a principle. Anything in comes in life, which may be food, which may be chair, which may be respect, which may be anything, if you accept it, if it serves the Lord, and reject it if it doesn't serve the Lord. That is the highest level of renunciation. And that gives us hope that I don't have to be in a particular category to be renounced. I can be renounced on the positive platform. And the platform is to please the Lord. And that platform is the highest platform of renunciation. So Krishna says that this vairagya automatically comes when you follow real dharma. And the last is detachment, and it comes opulence. And here it is explained that the opulence is all the siddhis, anima, mahima, lagima, prapti, and so many things are there. And that Sri Krishna himself is defining as opulence. But in on the much higher platform that Sri Krishna himself puts forward in other times in Bhagavad Gita or 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that he says that the real opulence is to have Lord and his devotees in your life, to have Srimad Bhagavatam in your life, to have perfect superlative Shrestha knowledge in your life, to have great company practicing that knowledge in life is real opulence. Rest all opulences what we enjoy or go through can go away with time. They will not remain with you. That is the biggest difficulty. I was told in San Diego, this is not Radha Gopinath temple. We don't have money like Radha Gopinath temple. I was told like that. We cannot provide you so many things. You just see yourself what you can. This temple is not like Radha Gopinath temple. But that situation and this situation both can change in the course of time. How much time it requires. If one natural disaster comes, all the so-called opulence for so many years that we have can be finished. And all the paupers in the world can become rich at the course of time. So these kind of opulences, why we should be attached to? Because they are never going to remain constantly with you to give so-called pleasure to you all the time. But we have company of devotees, like the four brothers had Dharmaraj with them. That was, he was with them when they were walking barefoot with no food also. and when they became kings also. That was their real opulence. Another level of real opulence was they had Krishna with them all the time. Whether they were in the forest or whether they were becoming the kings of the world. The real opulence of theirs, they always knew it was Sri Krishna. And they looked at life that way. What is the proof of that? That they had that understanding of real opulence. When Krishna left the world, they immediately dropped everything down and went to the north. That was a proof that they were really on that realization of understanding that our real opulence is Lord Sri Krishna. And they didn't have any hesitation or any pain in giving up all the wealth and opulence instantly, for which they have slogged for whole life. Little part of life they were becoming kings, and lots of part of life they were paupers actually. Walking in the forest, you know, so many things, harassments and tortures were going on, atrocities were going on. And that ultimately after all that they became kings, and they just dropped it like this and they went away. And they were quite young, they were not very old like Bhishma Dev. But they left. Because that is a proof, finally, we understand that all throughout their life when they were poisoned and they were trying to be burnt and all those situations, in the war that they went through, the real opulence that they depended upon, believed upon, was the Lord. So what this anima mahima will do? I will become lighter than lighter, I will become heavier than the heaviest, but still I will die one day. What is the use? It may aggrandize me for some time. Wow! Suddenly Vishwarup Das, while giving class, is touching his head on the ceiling by levitation. All of you will be mesmerized. Oh, he has come from Himalayas, what has happened? The great opulence he has achieved. But next moment, a sense gratification object comes in front of me, I'll fall for it. So what is the use of the other opulence? The soul has to be enriched by the opulence of devotion and desire to please the Lord. That is the opulence of the soul. And that will always remain with us. Time will not separate from us from that opulence if we achieve that opulence. So let us all work for that opulence. Understanding, the first understanding, and then desiring to live on that platform. And when you achieve this opulence of having Krishna and his devotees in your life, you will be always happy, always blissful, always cheerful, never morose. But nothing else, you are not establishing your life or rooting your life with those temporary things which are temporarily making you happy. You understand that these things are temporary and these things are permanent. Another definition of rational intelligence is to understand what is temporary and what is permanent. And situating ourselves on the permanent, on the nitya, is the real wealth of life. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is the real opulence of life. To have the holy name of the Lord. To be able to chant the holy name of the Lord. To situate ourselves on the platform of constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord. Is the real wealth of our life. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Any questions? Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.